Stories from around the corner.
And around the country.
You're listening to All the Best.
Proudly supported by the Art Gallery of New South Wales.
Before we get into this week's stories, I'd like to take a moment to acknowledge that I'm recording from stolen Gadigal land and pay my respect to Gadigal elders past and present, and also recognise that the area where FBI Radio is situated, Redfern, has long been a place of storytelling, strength, resistance and resilience for First Nations communities. This week we're taking you into the artist studio, sharing the stories of artists that weren't always celebrated by traditional Australian arts institutions, until more recently. A lot of artists use their craft to hold up a mirror to society. They like to challenge our pre-existing notions. They like to make us feel uncomfortable. We're taking you on a behind-the-scenes journey to learn all about the process that these artists have gone through to create their art, and I, for one, find it super inspiring and enlightening as well. First, we're meeting William Young. He's a photographer that's known for capturing Sydney's gay scene, investigations of Chinese heritage, and more. I've known of William Young's work for quite a while. He is well known in the queer Asian art scene as one of our pioneers, at least locally. And it's really exciting to hear about his story, about his connection to culture and to his queerness. So join us as we go into the basement of photographer William Young.
I'm just noticing that you're in a very good light here, so I'll take your photo. Can you just fade looking back? That's good, but look at me, eyes to me, yes, good. Yes, okay, so just come look at me. Okay, you can smile. See, I have my themes, and I still do artistic celebrities. I still do gay, however it manifests. And there's also Chinese identity here in my own family, and that evolves as I get older. That's good. And do you mind taking one of me, please?
Of course.
I just might engage it. Look through the viewfinder. My name is William Young, but I spell it in the Chinese way, Y-A-N-G. Now, I changed my name when I became Taoist, when people used to call me born-again Chinese, and I embrace my Chinese heritage. You do have to make an effort to change your name, and you have to tell people you've changed your name, and I'm not Willie Young anymore, I'm William Young, spelled Y-A-N-G. Well, the point of it is you do become a different person. You've invented yourself. You're a new invention. It's not bad. I think I'll get a bit closer in. Be right, okay.
How are these?
Good. I've got a photographic look. Good, okay, that's good.
The work that you have getting ready for Biennale, do you have any of those hard copies here? Or have they already sort of gone on to their next space and place? I'm just wondering if you could show me some.
I could take you downstairs to my lock-up garage and I could show you some prints.
I'd really like to see.
Come along.
Let's.
Here's the one. My uncle's murder. Here, I've got some of them here. Please sketch. Mother's signature. Blood splattered documents. See, when I was researching my uncle's murder, which was in 1922, I went to the Innisfail courthouse and I found documents from the trial. And this is a police sketch of the murder, which is absolutely one of my favourite photographs. It's a bit macabre, but the policeman actually sketched out a plan of the hut where he was killed, and there's got a representation of where the body fell.
And this is the point where you started to do that oral history, in a sense, of writing on your photographs. Here I see some text underneath the picture itself.
This came later, not too much later, but after I did performance pieces, I realised that many of my photographs had stories to them. So in the 90s, I selected the photographs that had stories and I wrote on them. I just wrote on the print. This one's a bit later. This was in the 2007 I did this series. I wrote them more or less as a caption, but they're still handwritten. They're not digitized, the writing.
Would you be able to read the caption for me, please?
Blood-splattered documents from the series My Uncle's Murder. Oh my God, his blood was still there on the documents, the kind of brown crystallized stain. What the two men argued about was the weight of cane that went in the railway trucks to the mill. I guess Van Nguyen accused Daniel Shanko of cooking the books. They had an argument and Daniel Shanko shot him. Van Nguyen was holding these papers when he died. I was born in Mareeba on the Atherton Tableland, 19th of November 1943. But I grew up in Dimbula, which was where we lived, which was a nearby smaller town. Dimbula was a country town, quite multicultural because there are a lot of migrants there from European migrants in the tobacco industry. And I went to high school in Cairns, which I didn't like high school, and people used to call me names, and it was the worst time of my life. I went to Queensland University in Brisbane, studied architecture, and I graduated, and I liked university. And it was there that I started writing plays and directing architecture reviews. So that was my introduction to the theatre as an undergraduate. And I also joined the Brisbane Arts Society. So that was also another tribe that I discovered. But I was still in the closet. I knew I was gay in Queensland. And then I moved to Sydney in 1969. And I was able to come out as a gay man eventually. That was the biggest change in my life, is that I was able to come out in a town where I didn't come with a past history, which is a lot easier to do it in a new town, to reinvent yourself. That was the first reinvention of myself. I turned to photography. This is in 1974. I officially became freelance. I bought myself an invoice book and I said, I'm going to be a freelance photographer. I struggled for 15 years as a freelance photographer, but during that time, I discovered that I really liked photographing social events. That was what I liked most. And I did social pages for magazines and newspapers. And that was part of the way I earn my living. But in truth, I would just do whatever photographs I could that people would pay me money for. But also I photographed life on the gay scene. No one paid me for that, but it was part of my social life. In fact, a lot of people told me that photographers told me that it was a phase I was going through and soon I'd get over it. But I never got over it. And in fact, it's only now that my photographs of the gay community are more or less taken seriously, because I've felt in the past that when people have shied away, that scared curators or venues that might want to show gay photos. In some ways, I use this as a tool, the camera, because it is a way of socialising, and it quite quickly became the way I experienced a social life was with a camera. Especially in the gay scene, I quickly became identified as a photographer within the community, and people would ask me to their events, and I felt in fact even privileged, because the gay community had been invisible for thousands of years virtually. There's no trace of it very little trace of it through history. And so I was aware that we were breaking new grounds here, and also that people were giving me access to their social works. And although I had to be a bit careful, because a lot of people weren't out, and so not everyone wanted their photographs taken in a gay context. Occasionally I'll photograph a party, but things haven't changed that much. The heyday of the party was the 80s, really. And I must confess that whenever I go to a party, I always think, oh, I've seen this before, only better. It's just not new or fresh. But I do actually still try to get some kind of continuity in my work. And I'm kind of aware of that. That's the only thing that keeps me photographing, really, because I'm reaching an age where it's an effort, really, to strap on the cameras and go out again. But if I'm feeling it's part of an evolving story, then I'm motivated to do it.
That story was produced by Nicholas Adam Jirchbar, with additional production by Mel Bakewell. If you're interested in seeing some of William Young's work, it will be showing from 9th March to 10th June as part of the AGNSW Biennale exhibition. Up next, we're heading to the studio of Nam-based artist Alana Janfer. Alana shares the way that being a Black Ethiopian immigrant in Nam propelled him towards becoming an artist. It's a great story.
And for me, art is like, you need to speak, you need to have feeling, you need to express yourself, you need to represent someone.
I'm Olana, and I'm a painter, I paint. I think most of the time what I paint is like what I'm experiencing, what I'm dealing with in life.
So I just do what I see, you know.
If you live in Melbourne, chances are you've seen Alana Janfer's work on a mural, on a t-shirt, postcard, or in a gallery. His paintings are really bright and loud, and they're funny in a way that's hard to articulate.
The Immigration Museum told me, Olana, one older lady, she came to us. She said she really loved the artwork. It's very joyful. It's very joyful. In the same way, it makes her think about it as well. But that's what I want, you know. I want people to smile often in the same way. I want people to think.
We're sitting in his lounge room in Melbourne's north, and we're surrounded by his paintings. On the mantel is a painting of two white women doing yoga. They're in mountain pose. And the text says,
peaceful white people, you look at it, you smile, you know, and after you think about it, yeah.
Alana explains it's the text that comes first. That's the hard part.
I need to think about what kind of word would look cool, you know, like, I need to get the word first.
Words like chicken on bike, a Black man in an orange puffer vest riding a green bicycle while holding a flapping chicken. Words like get a white friend, Black woman in yellow shirt holding a red phone with a curly cord.
Words like
no thoughts, just be hot. A peach background, a zigzag border, a Black man with a beard and a blue cap peering at you from beneath his sunglasses. Alana shows me a few more paintings.
I got a piece called Friday Night.
a feeling, you know, Friday as a feeling, you know, like when it's everyone Friday, they finish work, they're thinking about going to the pub, having a beer.
And I have here Afrobeat sound. It's more like Afrobeat just comes from the African, the Nigerian music, and the guys like the style, like even like Afro, like with a style, with a nice haircut and it's dressing.
Important ladies hair salon, I have it at the back here.
It's just a style, you know, certain kind of ladies, like the style they have, you know what I mean? They look independent.
And then there's my personal favorite, probably because it's pointing at me, a white girl who dropped out of art school. It's a painting called Privilege Party. It's got an acid yellow background with three forearms reaching from the bottom of the frame, wearing cuffed sleeves. The hands coming out of the sleeves are pink, pinching the stems of fancy glasses, and there's bold black text that says,
just privilege party, laugh about it, you know, but think about it.
Yeah.
It's a privilege party, you know, like you laugh about it when you see it. Yeah, it's funny, you know, but it is true, you know. Yeah. So just my experience, I think people understand what I'm trying to say.
Have a look at the studio?
Yeah.
Yeah. Yeah. Alana makes his paintings in a small shed in the backyard.
It's so cold in here in winter.
Yeah, it's cold, yeah.
It isn't insulated, but it's warm in other ways.
As fast as possible, you know?
Got a lovely feel in here, though.
It's a nice feeling, yeah?
Yeah.
The wooden boards he paints on are packed against the shed walls, and we're surrounded by bright pops of colour and paint pots. A plant curls in at the window.
It's nice. I like the feeling.
Yeah, it's hard to know what to look at.
Alana started painting here in Melbourne a few years ago.
I didn't start painting when I was a child back home in Africa or in Europe. I started here. And when I started, what I understand here, art is more for someone who comes from upper class. The art world is different. And I come from a different world.
I born and raised in Ethiopia, and I grew up in Norway. I lived in Europe, and I moved here in 2015. In Ethiopia, we don't know any art, and I don't know art. We don't know people go to school to learn art. First time when I want to do painting, I just want to have just one piece for myself, so something will remind me of home. Like, I was like, oh man, that would be cool to have something I remember from my childhood in Ethiopia. So when I look at it, I feel like I'm home, you know? Growing up, like when my mom and my brother, my mom, she used to take us to the church and we walk inside, we watch all those images on the wall, people drawing them. It's like, oh, what is that? And my mom was like, oh, no, that's the angel. We can't talk about them because we were respectful to those images. Like, no one would tell us who did it.
Alana wanted to recreate the images that he remembered from the church walls in Ethiopia. That was his first painting.
I just want to have one piece and start to do it. And like friends and family, everyone like, wow, Alana, that's so cool. We like it. I was like, oh, really? Yeah, I like it too. And I just keep going. And I think through that journey, I found my own style. I start to do my own experience, my own lifestyle. This is good. This also makes me feel like I'm home.
When Alana talks about painting his experience, he's talking about his experience.
As a black person, when you come from a Western country to this country, you're not a refugee. But if you are a black person, wherever you go, you are a refugee. I go to Europe, I'm a refugee. I'm here, I'm a refugee. It's like, it's not your home. They always ask where you come from.
Where's your home?
Where you come from?
Alana holds art workshops for kids from migrant backgrounds, just like his own. He hopes that the kids can look at him and be like, oh, yeah, maybe I could do art too.
To see someone, for them who do painting, who do art, and I just want to... Because I never had one other child, I didn't meet anyone who can show me, like, Alana can do that, it's possible. And for me to show them, like, look, I'm like your mom and dad, I don't speak English, you know?
but I do this thing. So you don't need to change yourself. You don't, just be yourself, be who you are. And I just want to show them like anything's possible as long as stay true to yourself.
Another painting Alana shows me is of a man in traditional dress holding a suitcase in each hand. This one's called
Grateful Immigrant. Like when you live in a Western country, like most people, they want you to be like grateful immigrant. You should be happy you are here, you know. Yeah, you need to improve who you are, and you need to improve your talk. You need to improve. You're not black, you know. You need to improve. You're white, you know. Like you need to improve, like certain kind of stuff. Like you need to change your personality. My mother tongue is Ethiopian, Amharic. I don't talk like white people. I talk like me, like, and I think that's also, I think, my experience. People look at you differently. For example, my last show, I had a solo show last year, the solo show called I'm No Speak English. That's me, I'm No Speak English. And people who talk like me, look like me, I think they understand and they get what I'm trying to say. I have some art friends and I tell them, look, if let's go let's go outside and ask for a job, they'll never take me. They'll take you, but they'll never take me. Just said, maybe they'll take me, maybe they'll put me in the kitchen. And even that is hard, you know.
When Alana came to Australia, he struggled to find work. He says that if he'd actually been able to find a stable job, he probably would never have picked up a paintbrush.
If I had that one a few years ago, I'd be very a grateful immigrant. You know what I mean? I'd just do my thing. I'd be very happy. I would have the time to think about art, you know.
I, for one, am not glad that Alana experienced what sounded like racism when he was looking for work. But I am so glad that he found art. Or rather, art found him.
I didn't choose it. I think painting chose me, art chose me to do it. You just gotta keep making, and the best is like you're just doing your own thing and you put your energy out and just see what the energy brings.
You just gotta keep making. It's a beautiful sentiment. But Alana learned pretty quickly that this was not the only way that popularity and success in the art world worked.
You love your work and you love what you're doing, and sometimes it's also networking, they said. Yeah, it's about who you know here, and when you come from a different place like me, you need to work hard to understand people. And sometimes it's not about talent, sometimes it's more about also the people you connect with. I think art created for rich people like me, someone in Africa could be talented and could be concrete on new stuff, but he can't show his work because he don't have the wealth. He's not rich. I think most people, they come from like really money place, you know, they come from the money and they're trying to do the same thing.
Which brings me back to his painting Privilege Party, the pink hands holding the wine glass stems.
Privilege Party is more like I see when I'm in the art, especially Melbourne, you know, it's just like I see people every week, every 2 weeks, they're having a party. It's like, how they do it? You know, like I'm painting, it's nothing. And I saw them, they're doing the party, and I call it a privilege party. You know, it's like, man, we can't party like that, you know, every week. It's like they're doing one thing there, the next minute is there another thing. It's like, yeah, that's why I call it a privilege party, because some people, they just know how things work and how to, yeah, that's, yeah. I think even the word will speak to what I'm trying to say here. Yeah. So, you know, cool is a currency.
Yeah, they're all kind of linked, right? It's
exactly. Like I think you are, privilege, yeah, exactly.
Partying.
That's the thing in the Western.
This painting is an example of Alana's encounters with whiteness. Paintings like these hold a mirror up to a culture that's often rendered invisible just by its dominance.
That's who you are. Like, I'm just showing them who they are, and I think that's the thing. It just, I hope I say the right thing. Eh? No politics, you know. Yeah,
behind your work, there's like a lot of
politics, like when you're talking about
what you think about creative industry in Australia and Melbourne. I think it's just the way it is, you know, like I don't want to say it's bad or good, and just they don't really used to people who looks like me and have the same background as me. I think that's the best way to put it, because everyone knows about it, but no one is saying it. And when you're saying it, it's powerful, I think, when you come from real place and the right person, I think.
In Alana's work, you can see the world he's bridging through his use of characters and text. And one of those worlds is absolutely grounded in cultural identity, with homage to his homeland and the bewildering experience of navigating another culture as a migrant.
I do my thing. If you like it, you like it. If you don't like it, you stay on your box, you know. That's me. I think that's why people like it, because I still believe in doing your own thing.
At its core, Alana's work asks you to celebrate who you are and where you come from. Just be cool, be hot, but don't try.
You know, sometimes artists, it's not about explaining, it's like seeing and feeling, you know? Yeah.
Just be who you are.
Cool is stay true to yourself, yeah, who you are.
It's gonna be Alana, you know?
That story was produced by Mel Bakewell, with music by Poddington Bear. You can see more of Alana's work on his Instagram, at JANHF_bless. That's at JANHF_bless. All the Best would like to acknowledge the traditional owners of the lands on which we make these stories, and pay our respects to elders past and present. All the Best is made at FBI Radio on Gadigal land, in association with SYN and 3RRR on Wurundjeri Woiwurrung and Boon Wurrung lands, and 8CCC on Arunde and Warramungu lands. The All the Best editorial manager is Mel Chun, and Phoebe Adler-Ryan is our production manager. Our social media producer is Isabella Lee. Patrick McKenzie is our community coordinator. Shining Bird composed our theme music, and Annie Hamilton designed the artwork. We're heard across Australia on the Community Radio Network, and were made possible by the Art Gallery of New South Wales and the Community Broadcasting Foundation. You can find our full archive of more than 500 episodes at allthebestradio.com. I'm Madhura Prakash. Thanks for listening.